the Hockey News. Adam Proto joins us once again. Adam, how are you doing?
I'm good, Jason. How are you?
I'm all right. I might be better. I might be worse if the NHL goes to Vegas. I'm just not sure.
Well, you know what? It's looking like a pretty much a fait accompli right now. And even though there's still some things up in the air with the ticket drive, I think, as I said last night on our website, I don't think the NHL asks that question to Vegas fans if they don't have a good idea of what the answer is going to be.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You don't go there and say, "Here, why don't you go on a ticket drive and see what people think?" I don't recall.
Let's go fail publicly.
Yeah.
Let's go fail publicly.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do here and build ourselves as a brand when that runs, opposite to what Gary Bettman's always done with this type of stuff, right? Which is, he wants it kind of lock, stock, and smoke and barrel before he'll even consider discussing it. It was that way when, the Jets moved and the Thrashers, he was talking about Atlantis, still being a viable franchise right up until the bitter end. He'll do the same for Phoenix. He'll do the same for Florida. So, to see him kind of go this route and try and play it down was a little disingenuous for me. I think they know very well where it's going, and they're more than comfortable coming out to the public with it now.
What do you think would be the earliest timeline that you could see an NHL team in Vegas? Like, I'm assuming they've got to build a facility, no?
Yeah, it's under construction right now, right? I mean, it's if you go online, I actually think there's a live webcam that you can go and see it being built every 10 minutes. I think they post another picture, but they definitely need to get that up and running. I think you're probably looking at a couple years at the very least. I think I've seen at least one report that suggested fall of 2017 or maybe the fall of 2016 might be an outside shot. I think NHL sometimes will opt for the longer wait time or the longer build time, who knows in this case if they want to rush it. But I think certainly within 2 or 3 years at the most, you'll be seeing a team playing in Las Vegas.
Adam Proto joins. Do you think when they expand, will they do one at a time, or will they try to bring in two teams at once?
Yeah, I have talked to a couple people who still think they want to have some type of overall balance, even though they're not going to fix the coastal balance, if you will, anytime soon. I think that they probably still want to go up by two, I think it makes it a little bit easier on the schedule, and I think they don't want to have just keep having these strange announcements year after year. I don't think it really does them any good, and you can draw up some fun support. You can build a rivalry between two franchise teams if you want to to get in at the same time. So if I had to guess, I would think that something like this would accompany Seattle if they can agree on their building being built, or Quebec City, which as we know is being built and it's going to be operational relatively soon.
Jaromir Jagr, the ageless wonder, 1,500 games last night, scores a goal, adds an assist. A guy who, obviously we all know if he hadn't left, would be the second leading scorer in NHL history.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see him, if New Jersey's out of it, do you see him being a name that a lot of teams would maybe try to acquire at the deadline?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. And forget about just leaving. How about the lockout station with, the effect on his point total too, right? How many lockouts he's been through, all of them, really. So it's quite astonishing to think, just how good this guy is and still is. And I think there are going to be, any number of teams that are, looking for a short-term solution, a rental. We saw how much he's bounced around the league already, as some stars tend to do toward the end. But, I think he still has something to give. He's still, very good on the cycle when he's healthy. And he's, we all know the story of him training late at night, kind of counterintuitively to what teams do, and it served him well. So I think he's motivated to do it, he's not going to go voluntarily. Teams are going to have to stop inviting him, and to me, there's probably still a couple teams that, come I guess springtime or early springtime, they're probably going to at least take one more shot on.
Oh well, the way he's playing, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't consider it, because you're not going to have to overpay him. Now, speaking of overpaying, the salary cap projected, best case scenario, $73 million, maybe worst case, around 70. A lot of it depends on the strength of the Canadian dollar.
Mm-hmm.
moving, like if the Canadian dollar, and we talked about this in Canada for a long time, we know that Canada props up a lot of the money around the league. And, you know, with the new TV deal being in Canadian funds, that definitely impacted, you know, how much it truly was worth, especially when the Canadian dollar goes down as much as it potentially might. Do you see any long-term concerns for the NHL if the Canadian dollar stays around 80 cents?
Not really. I mean, I think it probably has more to do with other considerations too, right? I mean, the cost of oil has dropped, you know, quite a bit recently, and you know, is there going to be a similar drop in travel costs? You know, that's something that you hear all the time, that the league was, you know, originally hesitant to go to having all teams play, you know, in every building in the league because of fuel cost concerns and things of that nature. So, you know, I think it's a number of things, but no, I don't think the, you know, overall in the grand scheme of things, with, you know, the insatiable appetite for hockey in this country, and, you know, with a growing focus on Europe as a, you know, a potential marketplace, if not, you know, in terms of putting a team out there, then certainly, you know, in exploiting the natural connections to the game, the European players doing a better job of marketing them over there, you know, they're going to have more than enough money coming in to, you know, to not have to be so focused on the state of the Canadian dollar.
Paul McLean, did you have him in the pool? Who was in your pool for first coach fired?
Oh, mine was Randy Carlyle. I mean, to be honest, I think, you know, he was, and you know, still, I guess, week to week here in Toronto is kind of always on those tenterhooks. But no, I think, you know, with this firing, it was, you could kind of see it coming. You know, there was really, you know, nothing that suggested that McLean was going to be in there for the long haul. And the Senators, to me, are still a team in transition, Jason. They're not at the top of the mix anywhere close to it in the East, and they're not as bad as a Buffalo or a Carolina. So they're unfortunately in that mushy middle. And, you know, I think a guy like Dave Cameron is going to come in and give them some stability and some structure. But, you know, I still think, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, do I expect him to necessarily be there? I don't think so.
Adam Proto from the Hockey News joins us. Adam, the Calgary Flames, do you think they can continue this?
I don't. I really don't. I mean, it's amazing to see, and I think it's a great story, obviously, for people who've suffered through a lot of rough years in that city. But you know, their shooting percentages are still a little high. Their road record for a young team still, you know, it kind of stands out for me. And you go, wow, you think there might be a course correction there. And you know, I just don't know that they necessarily have the depth over the course of the rest of the season to kind of sustain them if they have, you know, injuries to some guys in key areas. So, do they have enough points already stacked up to get into the playoffs? Possibly, if they can just, you know, tread water or, you know, play a little above 500 from here, they should be able to make it in. But, you know, are they going to look as dominant at times? I have a bad feeling that, you know, that as the season goes on for them, they're going to see the teams like the Kings and maybe the Sharks that have a little more depth, you know, slowly start to pass them and have them fighting for one of those lower seeds, playoff seeds in the West.
Yeah, it might come down to them in Winnipeg, because if Calgary loses tonight and San Jose wins, the Sharks are only 2 points back of the Flames. The Jets are the team that, you know, a lot of people have kind of expected them. You know, they obviously haven't made the playoffs since they've returned to Winnipeg. Evander Kane, I was looking it up today, and probably the most stunning, he has 3 points, even strength this year. Like, it's...
Right.
You know, and I know he was banged up and everything like that, but, you know, is this a guy, do you think now would be the time to buy low on Evander Kane? Do you think there's a chance the Jets would move him?
Yeah, I think it's a distinct possibility. I mean, you hear teams talk all the time, right? The Craig Metavis thing about, you know, not trading from things of weakness or points of weakness. I think, you know, this is probably as strong as the Winnipeg Jets are going to get over the course of this season. I don't think they're going to rise much higher in the standings. I think they're going to be, you know, in that mix of the, as we say, the kind of lower tier playoff spot. So, you know, if you've got a guy that clearly would probably, you know, not stand in the way of any trade out of that city, find him a place on a team that's looking for a scorer, and then kind of build your franchise from, you know, the young players that you would get back in return. I don't think you're going to necessarily, you know, trade a guy like that for a short-term veteran fix to push you one or two spots up the conference. So, you know, it would have to be a trade, I think, that builds across, you know, maybe one or two positions with some draft picks and some top young prospects, you know, that could, and maybe a couple, one or two, you know, NHL-ready type players, obviously, to help ease the pain of his departure. But you know, I think it's, you don't want to say it's toxic for him necessarily there. You know, I think the performance that he's put out this year is kind of reflective of his frustration and probably willingness to move on if the opportunity presents itself.
And one last one. We spoke about McLean getting axed. Five mm-hmm. coaches in 7 years for one general manager in Brian Murray. This has got to be his last hire, I would think.
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, I think Eugene Melnyk is at a crossroads with a lot of that team. I mean, Eric Carlson's a world-class player. You know, their goaltending situation is, you know, it's kind of a weird situation with both guys signed long-term. There's no, you know, elite superstar up front. So it just seems to me to be another one of those teams where if you don't have that generational type guy, you know, up front as a, you know, as a top player, like a Stamkos or like some of the players the Oilers still have, you know, I don't know that your owners see you as doing anything but treading water. So, you know, is Brian going to be, obviously we all want him to be healthy enough to be able to make that choice for himself. But, you know, is his time, like a lot of GMs, running thin? I think absolutely.
Interesting. Craig Custin's just tweeting out that potential Vegas owner Bill Foley kind of pulled a Peter Pockington, but not really, said his goal is to win a cup within 8 years of joining the NHL.
Wow. Good for him. That's you always want to start setting those arbitrary limits for yourself.
Well, you know what's great? If you're in Vegas, setting a limit usually works, right?
That's right. The house usually does.
Yeah,
win.
That and totally you know what, usually
what
works.
Maybe he's looking at Ed Snyder from like the 60s when there was only like, 10 teams in the league, 12 yeah. teams in the league where he had a real genuine shot at getting there after 7 or 8 years. But man, I think he's in the early lead for craziest owner if he thinks that's going to happen.
Yeah, that'd be great. Adam, always good to talk to you, man. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.